everyone. It's always nice to come back. I get to come here about once a year and get the blessing of being in this church with the fathers, Father Paul, Father Anthony, and Father Bishoy. It's amazing what the church is trying to teach us this week. This is a pretty bad situation for this gentleman. When you look at it, it's pretty terrible. This guy has been lying by a pool for 38 years. He's got this sickness. The people he hangs out with, they're not the coolest people. There's some blind people, some lame people, some paralyzed people. They're all hanging out by the pool. The guy can't get up and walk. He really doesn't have a lot of friends. He's very lonely. What I heard was that this water gets stirred about once a year. So he's got one chance a year to get into this pool. He's been there year after year, and even though his competition isn't that great, I mean, you got a blind man, doesn't always know where the pool is, a lame, paralyzed, and he's not even getting the pool. That's got to make you feel hopeless. I mean, I can't beat them. I can't get in the water before them. Man, I'm alone. People I'm around with, they're all sinners, and I can't walk. I got no friends. I mean, this is miserable. This is absolutely miserable. Why are you here? Why is that guy here by the pool? We know why he's here by the pool. He's sick. Why is he sick? Because he sinned. How do we know it's because he sinned? Because Christ later says, after he heals him, don't sin again. He's here because of sin. And he's paralyzed. Do you guys really know what it means to be paralyzed by sin? When a person is paralyzed, if you were to just lie in bed for about 6 weeks, your muscles begin to shrink. The fibers become replaced by fat. The bones become very thin and weak. And a paralyzed person, even if he wanted to, with his mind, move his legs after so long, he just doesn't have the ability. Most of his life, he spent unable to do anything. So what does it mean? He cannot live an abundant life. He's not living a life of blessing. He's not living a life of joy. He's living a life of misery. Then the funny part of the story. Christ comes to this guy who's been sick for 38 years, who's sitting here, and he says, do you want to be made well? The guy must have been looking around like, this ain't McDonald's. Like, I'm not waiting for a Happy Meal. Like, I'm not waiting for, like, a handicap sticker from, like, the DMV. Like, I'm here laying by a pool where people get healed. Why don't you think I want to be made well? He could have said, no, we're just here enjoying the view. You know, we're all going to go swimming. We're going to play Marco Polo in a few minutes. I mean, the blind guy has an advantage, but that deaf guy, he doesn't have a chance. You know, like, what kind of a question is that? Do you want to be made well? But you know what? Christ is asking the same question. Do you want to be made well? He could have said, I mean, really? Really? When Christ asks you, do you want to be made well? You're like, I'm already well. I mean, why are you asking me, do I want to be made well? He could have given lots of different responses. He could have said something not helpful. He could have said, you're asking me if I want to be made well? He could have given a wisecrack. No, I'm fine. I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for asking, though. Maybe you can ask one of them. I can do this. I'm okay. I know. It's the waiting game. Sooner or later, I'm going to overcome the weakness from my sin. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. I know it's been 38 years, but I know sooner or later it's coming around. How many of us are saying the same thing? You're asking me if I need to be made well? I mean, do I look like I have a problem? I mean, it's a nice bed. You know, I mean, I got a good view. Like, do I really have sins that you're asking me if I need to be made well? How many of us are saying, God, I've got this. I'm good. I can do good whenever I want, and I don't have to be sinful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me. How many of us are saying, I'm not really paralyzed? And I know so many of us are really paralyzed. Our relationship with God is paralyzed. It doesn't move. Our relationship with people in the church paralyzed because I'm not willing to forgive. That relationship isn't getting healed. I know my prayer life is dead. It doesn't get up. I know that because of the sins of my eyes, because of the sins of my mouth, the sins of my ears, the sins of my heart, the places, I am so paralyzed. My marriage is paralyzed. My work is paralyzed. My finances are paralyzed. I am so paralyzed. It is absolutely ridiculous for a person who is paralyzed to say, I'm not paralyzed. Christ says, do you want to be made well? He gives the absolute best response. Because Christ knew he wanted to be made well. He knew it. But the man says this, I don't have any man that can help me get in that water. I've tried. I've done everything I can. I've tried. Other people, we can't do it. I can't rely on myself. I can't rely on other people. And I'm here by the sheep gate. You know what the sheep gate is for? That's where they hold the sheep. Why do they hold the sheep by the temple? Because the sheep are going to go get sacrificed. They're sacrificing sheep all day long. Their blood, they're being sacrificed, and I'm still not made well. That's not healing me. I'm not healing me. No one's healing me. I need help. Christ says, you want to be made well? He's like, yeah, no, nothing else has worked. I need something that works. It's like he's begging Christ. Yeah, I got nothing. I need you. Did you know that the pathway to blessing is by that comment? I ain't got nothing. Because what did Christ say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For there's the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what poor, the word poor in Greek means? It means beggar. He says, not just a beggar, like a crippled beggar who cannot survive by their own means. Christ blessed the people who said, if you have the spirit of a crippled beggar, like this man who's been sick for 38 years, he says, I got nothing. I can't get into kingdom of heaven without somebody. I've tried being good, and I can't. I've tried other people to help me, I can't. I've tried to cleanse myself by doing certain things, I can't. It doesn't work. St. Paul himself. To me, after Christ, St. Mary, then comes St. Paul. I mean, holy of holies. I mean, St. Paul is up there, right? One of the most holy. He says this in Romans. He doesn't write this when he was before a Christian, after a Christian, he says, I don't know what I'm doing. When I try not to sin, I sin. When I try to be good, I'm not good. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Who is going to save me from my wretchedness? And he says, blessed be God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ says, do you want to be made well? Or are you going to say, no, I'm fine. Or I'm going to play the waiting game. How long are you going to wait? Some people have been carrying their sins for years. Some people have been carrying the same sin for years, even though it's been forgiven. There are some people that they know they did a major sin. They confessed it. They asked God for forgiveness, but you know what? They're still carrying the sin. Why? It doesn't make sense. Christ sees him carrying his sin. And it's amazing. And St. John, when he writes the gospel, he doesn't leave a detail out. He says, he's here by the sheep gate, where the sheep get slaughtered. In Bethesda. Bethesda is the house of mercy. You find a bunch of sheep in the house of mercy. Who do you expect to find going around there? You're going to find a good shepherd. You're going to find a good shepherd looking for a lost sheep who's paralyzed. So he goes to the lame man. He says, I see those sheep, they're not sufficient. They won't work for you. I see that your strength, you don't have strength. That's not going to lift you up. I see that you're alone, you're not going to make it. He says this, I am sufficient for you. You need a sacrifice. I will be the true sheep, the true lamb that is sacrificed for you. Your sin is going to be healed. And he says, you need strength. He says, I will be your sufficiency. When you are weak, my strength will be made perfect. He says, you're alone. I will never forsake you. You don't need anything else. You finally have found the right person. I am all sufficient for you. I want you to rise when I rise. I want you to take up your bed, because I don't want you to come back to this bed. I want you to take it and take it away. And I want you to walk after me. I want you to walk after me. Amazing. He's been lying outside of the temple all these years. Finally, after he says, rise from your sin. Take up your bed. Don't come back here anymore. Walk. Follow me. And he finds himself in the temple, near the heart of God. I think if I want you to get one thing, is to confess with a beggarly, poor spirit, God, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. There's no way I can get into heaven. There's no way I can be healed without you. There's no way I'm going to find that abundant life. I need you. That's what the church wants us to learn in these holy days. Repent and come to the one, the good shepherd, who comes to the house of mercy, and he helps those who say, I need you. I need you alone. May God, who always abides in the house of mercy, the good shepherd looking to heal and raise every one of his sheep, no matter how long you've been in sin, no matter how long you haven't been able to grow closer to him, to others, you haven't been able to pray, you haven't come to communion, you haven't been able to confess, he says, now is the time. You're going to say those words today? Stand in the liturgy and say, I ain't got nothing. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for an abundant life. I want to get up from my sin. I want to walk after you. I want to find myself in your temple. May God grant us a poor, beggarly spirit that we might all find ourselves in the kingdom of heaven.